Views of Jezebel Through the Millennia by Dr. Ray Herman. The story about Jezebel is recorded in 1 Kings and 2 Kings of the Old Testament, but for those who do not know much about this character, here is an overview. According to Hebrew scripture, Jezebel was the daughter of Ethbaal, the king of Tyre and Phoenicia during the 9th century BC. Phoenicia was a coastal area corresponding to present-day Lebanon. At that time, the Jewish Commonwealth was divided and the southern portion was called Judah. The northern portion was called Israel, which was near the border where the city of Tyre was located. Although a wealthy and influential city, its politics and religion were at odds with the laws, beliefs, and traditions of Yahweh, the true God of all Jews. Jezebel's father was not only a king but also a pagan priest of both the god Baal and the fertility goddess Astarte, who together were often referred to as Baal. So, Princess Jezebel became a queen when she married King Ahab of Israel. It was an arranged marriage, suggesting a peaceful solution for territories at odds with one another, like Phoenicia and Israel. There was probably not much real love involved, as these kinds of marriages were made for political and trading reasons, because making alliances with other states was a primary motivation for peace and profit. As soon as she became Queen of Israel, in 869 BC, Ahab began constructing shrines to his wife's pagan gods in all the holy places, even building a temple to Baal in the capital city. See 1 Kings 16, verses 31-33. Although it was common for a foreign queen to continue worshipping her own gods, it was not acceptable to publicly promote her beliefs upon the faithful Jews of Israel. Jezebel declared herself a sworn enemy of Yahweh and his prophets. The prophet she hated most was Elijah, who fought against all paganism in Israel, especially the worship of Baal. Elijah was instrumental in removing hundreds of priests of Baal and Jezebel condemned him to death, but Yahweh protected Elijah, see 1 Kings 18. In a later incident, Jezebel conspired to help her husband obtain a vineyard that he coveted. The owner didn't want to sell, so she trumped up charges against the owner and had him stoned to death, 1 Kings 21. Of course, to the Jews, this was a particularly grievous act because Jewish law forbade such actions, requiring assets to be obtained equitably. When Jezebel and Ahab finally confronted Elijah, he prophesied that because of this murder she and Ahab would both die dishonorably and that Jezebel would be trampled by horses and eaten by dogs. Ahab was one of Israel's most evil kings and Jezebel is most responsible for that reputation. She was the tyrant who corrupted him and the true power behind the throne. When the prophets of the Lord opposed Jezebel, she had them massacred, see 1 Kings 18, verses 4 and 13. After Elijah defeated her prophets she swore revenge. She was such a fearsome figure that the great prophet Elijah was afraid and ran for his life, see 1 Kings 19, verse 3. After the death of her husband in battle, Jezebel reigned for 10 years through her 2 sons' kingships. Her sons were both killed by Jehu, who became the new king in Israel. Jehu then also killed Jezebel by having her thrown out of a palace window and she was trampled by horses and eaten by dogs, 1 Kings 21:19, just as predicted by the prophet Elijah. Only her skull, feet, and the palms of her hands were left when the dogs were finished with her. See 2 Kings 9, verses 30-37. The Bad Girl of the Bible. There was nothing good that came from Jezebel's deeds, and for 3,000 years she has been saddled with the reputation of being the most evil woman in the Bible. This wicked queen has been denounced as a murderer, prostitute, an enemy of God, and her name has been adopted for clothing and cosmetic products and even wartime munitions. Today, there are many books and movies related to her depraved personality. She has come to be known as an archetype of the wicked woman. Her Old Testament legacy was so powerful that it is even mentioned in the last book of the New Testament. In Revelation, Jesus dictates a message for the church in Thyatira, which represents a religious organization at the end of this present age. The message infers strong parallels between Jezebel and Babylon. This suggests that Jezebel is a preview of Babylon the Great. See Revelation 2, verses 18 to 29. Babylon the Great, or the Whore of Babylon, refers to Rome, which succeeded to the power of the old Babylon. Rome also adopted the worship of false deities and debauchery, and by her own act became the heiress and successor of all the Babylonian idolatry and sexual immorality consequently plaguing all of the earth. See Revelation 17, verse 18. It is easy to see why Jezebel stands out amongst other biblical women. She was socially gifted and had every opportunity for greatness, but threw all chances for that out the window to embrace a foreign god. Torn apart by her fall, trampled by horses, eaten by dogs, and left for garbage, this evil woman was wiped off the face of the earth, along with all her offspring. The Jezebel stereotype. Who or what are the Jezebels in today's world? The famous biblical character's name has been used for thousands of years to stereotype any woman that habitually presents unbiblical attributes. Originally, she was famous for re-establishing the Canaanite cult and its associated political practices within the Hebrew nations. And through time, she became known as a pagan masquerading as a servant for goodness, but misled many godly people into the sins of idolatry and sexual immorality. In modern times, some Christians have tended to associate Jezebel with promiscuity, heavy use of cosmetics, skimpy clothing, and prone to controlling men. Add to this a personality of having no regard for others, a lack of empathy, and dishonest behavior, I'm sure Jezebel would be diagnosed as a sociopath in today's world. In the Bible, she did break rules and laws, behave aggressively and impulsively, and use manipulation, deceit, and controlling behavior. And taking into consideration that this evil woman did not hesitate to use violence, some would even consider her mental state as demonic or psychopathic. While sexual immorality was part of Jezebel's personality, her other characteristics are most prevalent in her story. Surely, I guess, sex was what she used to control and manipulate her husband king, but just as surely it was his power that she desired most. But many people focus only upon unrestrained sluttish activity to describe what is sometimes called the Jezebel stereotype. Why is that? For whatever reason, displays of promiscuity are the reason for applying the Jezebel label to some women and mostly black women. Why the black woman? Well, some serious researchers attribute the African black race and global slavery back in the 1600s to 1800s as contributing factors to what became known as the Jezebel stereotype. While I'm not sure if this is either true or false, I do present the subject because it has been discussed for several hundred years. There seems to be a resurgence of interest even today, so I will let you decide for yourselves. Just to show the seriousness of this belief and its scholastic interest, I have included what I consider a couple of impeccable references for serious consideration. If desired, you may review them for more information and further published data. Some people say that calling a black woman a Jezebel is a racist comment, but over my 80 years of life, I've heard it applied more to white women, especially in Christian churches. I suspect it depends upon your beliefs, your point of view, and the kind of neighborhood in which you live. One study suggested that some women just want to use sex and greed as stepping stones to obtain the absolute power they demand. Introducing the black African to the European world demonstrated some racial body differences which objectified them sexually to a greater extent than white women. One such example was Sarah Bartman, a South African slave, who was brought to London in the early 1800s and exhibited on stages in circuses and museums, where onlookers paid to gawk at her untypically large buttocks. This introduction of the black African to white society brought racial body differences to the forefront of thought. Bartman, who adopted the stage name of Hottentot Venus, used her African body type as a curiosity and as a projection for erotic emotions. There are conflicting opinions on whether or not she did this voluntarily, but either way she made money by bringing attention to her body. According to one research professor, the descriptive words associated with the Jezebel stereotype are particular in their focus: seductive, alluring, worldly, beguiling, tempting, and lewd. While those types of traits grabs one's focus, it is at the very least ungodly, because those same attributes are spoken of in the Bible as the methods Satan uses to deceive and manipulate people. But the professor explains that historically white women, as a category, were portrayed as models of self-respect, self-control, and modesty, even sexual purity, but black women were often portrayed as innately promiscuous, even predatory. This depiction of black women is signified by the name Jezebel. And from the early 1630s to the present, black American women of all shades have been portrayed as hypersexual bad girls. White people were fascinated by African sexuality and described the black women as fiery and much hotter than the men. So the origin of the sexual standards emerged from such descriptions, implying the black male as a brute and potential rapist, while the black woman was a Jezebel whore. This portrayal of black women as Jezebels began in slavery and extended through the Jim Crow period and continues today. See references and notes for more information about Jim Crow. Even black men have capitalized upon the black women's Jezebel spirit. After slavery ended, the stereotyping continued, even within black communities. Being as old as I am, I remember a barroom swizzle stick during the 1950s, called Zulu Lulu, which was shaped into the silhouette of a naked African woman. They were found in both Negro and white bars and restaurants. Being a native of New Orleans, I can attest to these facts, having attended many such venues, both black and white alike. In a related matter, here is another interesting tidbit of information to get attention and make you look smart at the next dinner party you attend. The early 1900s musician, Jelly Roll Morton, was a Creole of color. His real name was Ferdinand Lamotte and he chose Jelly Roll Morton as his professional name. He began playing piano at the age of 14 in the Red Light District of New Orleans, at a time when brothels hired musicians to entertain and attract customers. Martin's smutty songs worked well in that type of environment and his new name fit well too. At that time, after the turn of the century, the slang term Jelly Roll was a Negro euphemism for female genitalia. Conclusion. Right now we are seeing a new Jezebel generation. Satan had such a good tool going with the Jezebel stereotype that he keeps using it over and over again throughout the ages. A woman can attract attention, become popular, have power, and make money by adapting the Jezebel spirit. It appears that one secret to getting all that is to be seductive, alluring, worldly, beguiling, tempting, and lewd. Just what our true God tells us not to be. All a girl needs to do is reject God and accept Satan. It is very easy to get most of what she wants, especially in the entertainment industry. But remember that twerking her jelly roll on stage into the faces of an audience will not get her a ticket into God's promised land. A popular internet podcaster, Nick Jones, has an excellent take on the Jezebel spirit in the music industry. He is a serious Christian and I find much of his opinion on things to be well thought out biblically. He says even, people who really don't have any talent are perceived to have it. Sexy people can make it to the top, they can acquire influence because of their ability to promote the sense of sexual immorality. I've included a link if you wish to watch an 11-minute clip concerning what he had to say about female rapper Ice Spice being given a Bible following a performance. See references and notes for a link. I think Jones is right on with his views, and I recommend this clip from his show. Many celebrity singers and dancers use sex in their words and actions, but don't forget that Jezebel of the Bible was a worshiper of pagan gods too. So, I've noticed that most modern Jezebels also are very willing to sacrifice children to the god they perform for, through abortion. They accept murder of their babies in exchange for an easier, freer, and financially better life. See the link in references and notes for an article about this subject. Both men and women in religion, politics, sports, and show business often resemble Jezebel when they use their authoritative platform for their own selfish ambitions and ego. And it is not just a lack of integrity, but having a willingness to murder to gain power. And for women, especially, sexual immorality can be the medium that draws all ungodly traits together, so she becomes a very useful tool in Satan's control of this world. For my selection of a related music video for this study, I've selected an oldie from the Frankie Lane Show of the mid-1950s. The song is Jezebel, one of Lane's signature songs during that time. Selected lyrics are below, and a link to the music video is listed in references and notes. If ever the devil was born without a pair of horns, it was you, Jezebel, it was you. If ever an angel fell, Jezebel, it was you. Jezebel, it was you. If ever the devil's plan was made to torment man, it was you, night and day, every way. Jezebel. The end. Copyright 2023, Dr. Ray Herman. OutlawBibleStudent.org. To view other references and notes for this article, see the citations list following the text copy online. Please leave any comments you may have at the end of the written article. Thank you for visiting the Outlaw Bible Student website.